TML country. It's time to dance.
Markin for three. Got it.
For Shanahan again, she scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin, and it's great to have you on what is episode 13 of our 2025-2026 academic and athletic calendar year. But it is the start of a new year in many ways as well. Happy 2026 to you all. Our first episode of this new year, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Athletic Director Jeff Shulman. It's become kind of our tradition to sit down kind of right around the end of a year or the start of a new year and do a kind of debrief on what happened in the last calendar year, what's going on right now around Catamount Country. It's a unique time in the athletic department where the basketball teams, the hockey teams, swimming and diving, ski teams, indoor track and field are all on campus. So it's busy around the athletic facilities, but the rest of the campus is kind of still in that holiday lull. Everybody's getting back to town this weekend and we'll be starting classes next week. So it's a good time for me, I think, to catch up with Jeff and hear what's going on in his mind. And there is certainly plenty to talk about at the moment, from both basketball teams starting conference play. The hockey teams are very much in the heart of their season after they kind of had that extended break. We talk some Winter Olympics, represented even by some current Catamounts. And then, of course, we get into any updates on the facilities. And we talk about Adrian Dubois, the new UVM men's soccer coach, and just kind of what went on in that coaching search for Jeff, who he relied on during that search, and all that and more about the men's soccer program, who are still very much in a great point in their program, is coming off an undefeated season, even though a tip of the cap to Rob Dow, Brad Cole and that staff, and many of the players who are moving on as well. So many great accomplishments for that team. But we get into all that towards the back end of the episode, kind of starting right with the winter sports teams. And we dive right in to talk about Elisa Kresge, who just became the winningest coach in program history for women's basketball. So there's a lot to catch up with Jeff about and more. I won't make you wait much longer. Stick around right after this quick commercial break. Catamount Athletic Director Jeff Shulman joins Catamount Insider.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Hi, everybody. Welcome in to Catamount Insider. I'm thrilled to be joined by Athletic Director Jeff Shulman. Our first episode of 2026 on Catamount Insider. Jeff, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you taking the time. How are you as we get to sit down for the first time of the new year?
I'm doing great. It's good to be on with you again. It was an exciting 2025, and looking forward to a great 2026 as well.
I always look forward to getting to sit down with you here on the record for kind of a mid-year check-in. We've done this the last couple of years on Catamount Insider. But, yeah, you said it, an exciting 2025. Your program's getting to host multiple American East championships, going to the NCAA tournaments in a couple of situations. But just looking back on it with me, what stands out for you as we look back on the last year?
You know, when I think about 2025, there's always comparing the calendar year to the academic academic year. But of course, the end of 2024 was the national championship in men's soccer, which was such a special thing for the entire state of Vermont and obviously the university here and our department. And then we had that amazing parade where the community came together and our students and our players, obviously, and just all the fans just lining Church Street was incredible. It was a good spring, the two lacrosse programs and outdoor track and field, and then really an amazing fall. You know, obviously our men's soccer team going undefeated, entering the tournament as the number one seed. And even though the tournament didn't go the way we had wanted, it was just a fantastic accomplishment and a follow up to the national championship season. And then to be able to host field hockey championship, women's soccer championship, men's soccer championship in America East had never been done before in conference history was fantastic. And to see the community come out and support those teams was great. And the winter's off to a really good start. Both our basketball teams are picked to be the top of America East and are off to a good start against competitive schedules in the non-conference play. Our two hockey teams playing in Hockey East, a very competitive conference, have both had some really good wins. Our swimming and diving team and our student athletes are doing really well. And our ski teams started. Indoor track and field are going. So there's a lot happening in Catamount Country. And we have I want to congratulate you on being the top broadcaster in the state of Vermont. Very well deserved. We feel really lucky to have you as part of Catamount Country, and happy to see you get the kind of recognition that you just received.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I feel fortunate to be here and be with this great athletic department. What a great summary that was of so much of the excitement that went on. I feel like I'm still tired from that week when everybody was hosting the American East titles here in the fall. But right now, you mentioned it, there's kind of a lot of happening around the athletic department even before the rest of the students make their way back for the start of the spring semester. But I wanted to ask you about the women's basketball team to start, and Elisa Kresge, who recently became the winningest coach in program history. Nicola Prieta scored 35 points in a game for her career high of late, but Coach Kresge and the program that she has put together over there in Patrick Gym recently, what does that just say about her doing it in 6 years as the full-time coach, 1 year as interim as well, but to pick up win number 129 and since then has won number 130 and 131 in her career? Tell me about Coach Kresge and just all she's accomplished in such a relatively short time as head coach there.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest, it caught me off guard a little bit when I saw that she was approaching that milestone of being our all-time winningest women's basketball coach. And of course, we have a great history in women's basketball and some fantastic coaches that have come through here. I think about Kathy Inglis and Sharon Dolly as well, Keith Siplicki. So it's a great history, and to think that in just 6 years she's our all-time winningest coach is really impressive. And but you know, when you look back at the records over the past several years, you know, she's just stringing together 20 plus win seasons with good postseason success. So she's really, you know, all of our coaches are a little bit different. Yeah. And but I love working with Elisa. She's so intense. I think that that translates to our players, but she has good relationships with them as well. They know that she cares about them, and so they perform at a really high level for her. And particularly on the defensive end, I can always kind of joke that she puts so much time and thought, and the staff does, into scouts and to, you know, setting up the kind of defense that they want to play, that she's sort of like incredulous when another team scores a basket. Like, how could that possibly happen? You know, I sit right next to her during the games, and so it's fun to watch that intensity. You know, the game the other night that Nicola put together against UNH was just incredible. And I think she actually got off to a little bit of a slow start, but then the ball just started going in, and every time they got the ball to her. So she's really fun to watch, and to have seen her develop over time here. She's just one of these student athletes who, just has a great smile on her face as she's playing. She's enjoying what she's doing. She's super supportive of her teammates, and she's obviously playing at a really high level. So that, you know, that program is positioned well. But as we know in America East play, you know, in what's essentially a one-bid league, in the end you can have an amazing season, and you want to, because you're fighting for home court in the playoffs. But in the end, it's going to come down to three playoff games in March for both the – hopefully three playoff games for both the men and the women to have a shot at the NCAA tournament.
I've wanted to ask you about this before, but I don't think I've had the chance. Every now and then during home games at Patrick Gym, I look down towards the bench, and you're sitting right there. You have the chance to sit right next to the benches during basketball games. Is there any other sport that's like that, where you're kind of right there next to the team and the coaches? And what is that like for you, getting to be right next to Coach Kresge and Coach Becker on the men's side?
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about that the other day, because not every athletic director sort of chooses to sit in that position. And for me, it's a bit of a holdover from when I was an assistant athletic director and I was responsible for the game operations. And I sort of had to be right there. You know, when I first started at UVM back in the 90s, I used to be the person pressing play on the cassette recorder for the music in the gym. And I would help out if the scoreboard broke. Or now, you know, Alex Blanchard and Zach are there to take that responsibility. But I just got sort of used to that being my spot. And, you know, obviously it's a unique perspective. I actually get blocked out quite a bit by the coaches. So there's a lot of times where I don't actually see what the end of a play, you know, whether the shot, how it actually went in. I don't have a great view of the points. So I'm, you know, often looking on my phone as well to check the box score. But it's fun to see our coaches that way. And I've checked with them periodically just to make sure they're okay with that. It's a little unique to have your boss, I guess, sitting right there as you're involved in such an intense activity like coaching a basketball game. But I've enjoyed it. I have to watch myself from, you know, you're really not supposed to be cheering when you're in that position because it's people there are sort of in working roles. But I've enjoyed it. You know, I take a little bit of grief from my wife on a regular basis that I get to sit with a back to my chair, and she and obviously the vast majority of our fans don't. But that's something that we're obviously working on. You know, Patrick Gym is a special place. It's a huge part of our history, and I feel fortunate to have had such a sort of front row seat, literally and figuratively, to what's gone on there.
While we're on that then briefly, it's been great to see the new president of the university, Marlene Tromp, at many of these athletic events, but I've seen her at basketball some recently. Is there an update on just facilities and what it's been like working with President Tromp as she's still pretty new here in her position and her role? And I'm just curious about kind of your perspective on where everything's at as far as that is concerned and what it's been like for you working with her.
Well, first of all, it's been amazing to work with Marlene. She, you know, I got to know her through the search process. I was fortunate to be part of the search committee, so we were able to spend some time together. And she came to Burlington, I think, last winter at some point on a visit, and I had the opportunity to walk her around and kind of run through the history of the Tarrant Center and the facility project and the challenges that we've had. And right from the start, even as a candidate, she was very clear to me that this was sort of unacceptable. And I, of course, couldn't agree more with that. I know our fans and our student athletes feel that way as well. And so I feel a ton of support from her. And I know it's a really high priority for her, as it is obviously for me and all of us in athletics, to see the Tarrant Center come to fruition. And so we're working really hard with our board of trustees, with our donors, to put the funding in place, frankly, to make that happen. And we hope to be able to share some news on that in the not too distant future. There's still certainly work to do, but the momentum is palpable from my perspective. And obviously Marlene's energy and enthusiasm has a big role to play in all of that. And it's great to see her out at the games. You know, she's also in a very visible location right under the basket. That was important to her. She wanted to be up close to it all. She's really passionate about athletics. She's every time I hear her speak publicly, she talks about encouraging our fans to wear more Catamount gear and bring out the green and gold. You know, she comes from Boise State, where you know, the school spirit and a major football program is a huge part of their identity. So I feel really fortunate. She's also really knowledgeable about college athletics. She was involved in the NCAA board of directors when she was at Boise State, which is the highest committee that exists within the NCAA. So UVM is really fortunate to have her, obviously, as an institutional leader on the academic side in terms of the overall campus, but certainly on the athletic side as well.
Let's head over to Gutterson Fieldhouse then, where, of course, it's in the full swing of ice hockey season. The women's ice hockey team coming off a sweep last weekend. They head down to Merrimack after this interview will air on Friday. But the men's ice hockey team hosting Northeastern Hockey East play, and I always love a big clash at Gutterson Fieldhouse. I know, of course, you do as well, the letterman here at UVM and a graduate of the ice hockey program. Does that get you fired up to see a historic program like that come into town and get you excited for a big weekend at the Gut?
Yeah, I mean, Hockey East is a fantastic college hockey conference, and you know, some years it may be the best, other years maybe second, but it, you know, historic programs that are competing at a national level, and that's certainly our goal for both men's and women's hockey as well. So playing against the best teams is you kind of know where you stand on a regular basis, and and Coach Wheeler and Coach Plummer would be the first to acknowledge that we still have some work to do to sort of get our programs to the level that we ultimately want to be playing at. And we haven't talked about it yet, but the landscape of college sports is incredibly dynamic right now. And when you're, in programs like men's, women's hockey, where we're trying to compete against the best teams in the country, there's things that we need to be working on to make sure that those programs are positioned to have that success. And resources are part of that. Obviously, recruiting is a big part of it, how we're developing our players. But I have a ton of confidence in both Jim and Steve and their staffs. I know our players are working incredibly hard. They're passionate about what they're doing. They want to be at the top of the college hockey world. That's our goal as well. And so we're working with our alumni and with donors and with others to make sure that we're positioning both those programs for national success.
Let's try to tackle some of that when it comes to the changing landscape of college athletics. I think it's probably most highlighted at the college football world these days, but of course your basketball teams, your hockey teams are seeing just how NIL affects things, how the transfer portal has affected the world. How have those conversations unfolded between you and the coaches, and what are ways that this university is trying to keep up and trying to make sure you can still compete even maybe without some of the power conference resources that some other schools might have?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we talk about all the time in our department, and certainly it's a major topic of conversations that between me and our coaches. I think I often hear people in college athletics sort of lamenting the state of affairs of our enterprise right now, and certainly there's some challenging things that we're dealing with, and some things that maybe don't feel aligned with sort of the values of college athletics and amateurism that many of us got into this field thinking about and appreciating. But things evolve, and college athletics evolves. Higher education is evolving, and a lot of it is driven by legal issues and litigation that, frankly, is focused on a segment of college athletics that doesn't impact us a lot on a day-to-day basis, being college football and the highest level of college basketball. But there's certainly a trickle-down, and there are some realities that we're dealing with now on the competitive side and the recruitment and retention of student-athletes related to NIL and what sometimes referred to as revenue sharing. We're not burying our heads in the sand. Like, we understand that that's the reality, and we look at each program and say, all right, what are our competitive aspirations? And it varies by sport. We have certain programs that we absolutely want to be competitive at the highest level nationally, and other programs where that just may not be realistic for us, at least in the short term and in the under the current climate of college athletics. And so in some programs that involves institutional NIL deals. And so we're doing some of that now. We've had great support. We're doing it all through private fundraising. We've had great support from our donors. And at least as of now, we've been able to position our programs in the way that we need to. But that's going to continue to change and evolve. And we're going to have to change and evolve with that. And the key thing for us, and I think something that I know are in conversations with our fans and with donors and our coaches and student athletes as well, is that while we want to keep pace and we want to evolve as college athletics evolves, we want to maintain our identity as well and the values that have always been sort of front and center of Vermont. And that's like focusing on the student athlete first and foremost, their academic success, graduating, their development as people, being good citizens in the community, and of course their development as athletes. And I'm really proud of the way we've been able to navigate that over time, and even now as the landscape of college athletics evolves. We just had another great academic semester. Our student athletes had a 3.52 GPA in the fall semester. That's coming off three straight America East Academic Cups that goes to the school with the highest combined GPA. So there's a lot to be proud of in Catamount Country.
I wish my GPA had been that good. Congrats on that to the student-athletes.
Absolutely.
I owe you a quick break. When we return, it's more of Jeff Shulman on Catamount Insider.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
To shift gears slightly, the Winter Olympics are coming up. UVM will be represented by Julia Mesplet, an active player on the UVM women's ice hockey team, playing for the French national team on the ice hockey side of things. Multiple other Catamount athletes, former athletes, will be representing their countries in the Olympics. How cool is that for you to get to see former athletes there and a current athlete this year and Julia out on the ice for her team?
It's amazing. You know, we have a great history of Catamounts, particularly in the Winter Olympics, although we've had some summer Olympians as well over time. But it's always really exciting to watch as the appointments are made in the various countries to see how many either current Catamounts or Catamount alumni are going to be participating in the Olympics. And we'll be really well represented this year. We think 8 or 9 UVMers at the Winter Games in Italy. And I'm actually fortunate. My daughter is studying abroad in Florence, and so I'm going to go over and see her and then try to make it up to Milan for some of the hockey for a week or so when I'm visiting my daughter, Gabby. So it's, you know, the Olympics are amazing, and to have a strong UVM connection is something that we're really proud of. So I know that we'll be watching our Catamounts really closely, as I'm sure other Vermonters will as well, and hoping for maybe some medals.
I want to go back with you to the fall season. Like you said off the top, what a great fall it was here in Catamount Country with hosting the America East titles of both soccer teams and field hockey as well. How exciting is that for you when you do get to host and kind of the America East looks down on Burlington there as far as just everybody's coming here to take on your programs hosting the conference title games?
It's great, you know, and I think it's from a lot of different perspectives. I think it's fantastic for our student athletes to be able to compete at home. I think there's oftentimes a competitive advantage for that. I really like our formats in America East, where we really, I think just about in every sport that we play, at least, it's a high seed format for postseason play. I think that really puts an emphasis on the regular season. It rewards the teams that have had success throughout the year. And it's great for our fans, you know, people that come out and support the teams to have a chance to watch a championship competition with a bid to the NCAA championships on the line. You know, I'm a really competitive person too. I really like to see our teams win and have success. And so to see the way that, you know, the community will rally around them and other student athletes, you know, the field hockey championship game, I think was at 2 o'clock on a Friday, and we don't have lights. So, you know, we had to play during the day, and just to see how many other student athletes came out to support our field hockey team in that game was really special for me. So, there's a lot of great things that come with hosting postseason events, and it's fun for me to have my colleagues from the America East office come, and they're here like day after day. It seemed like Commissioner Walker was here, I think, for all three of those championship games. So it's really fun, and a lot to be proud of.
I wanted to wrap up with some men's soccer stuff with you. Of course, another great season, like you said, undefeated throughout the regular season and the number one overall seed into the NCAA tournament. Great season again for a program that's had so much success the last couple of years. Before we kind of get into the coaching side of things, what was that like for you to watch the team go undefeated in the regular season? But then I know, like you said, competitive person, you were frustrated like everybody that somehow the expectation was almost competing for another national title. And I know they wanted that goal themselves, those guys in the team and in the locker room and in that coaching staff. But what was that like for you to get to see them kind of capture the spotlight once more of the nation this year?
It was great. And again, just to see the way our community supported the team, all these sellouts at Virtue was fantastic. And, you know, I was able to travel with them. You know, they took a trip to Germany, a training trip over the summer, so I got to spend some time with them on that trip. And there was a lot of new faces. You know, they played really important roles on that team, and to see the way that they were integrated onto what was a championship team heading into the season. You know, I know Rob and the staff had worked really hard to elevate the competitiveness of the schedule. So we had some really tough games, and the fact that we were able to go through the regular season undefeated was just incredible. I think I mentioned it earlier, but Ruben Resendez, who's the Bryant coach, who they had an amazing season as well, said to me after the championship game that he thought what we did this year was even more impressive than what we had done in 2024. So I think that was, you know, it was an amazing run for them. And like you said, the NCAA tournament didn't go the way that we had hoped. Hofstra did to us what we had done to them and, right, and several other teams the year before. You know, soccer is a high variance sport, and the ball can bounce one way or another, and it can make a huge, huge difference. But just so much to be proud of, and you know, and obviously you never want to see a successful coach move on, but Rob did an incredible job building that program up to a national championship program, and we wish him and Brad Cole nothing but the best as they move on to Penn State. And at the same time, I'm really excited about Adrian Dubois coming in. And Adrian, as you know, was a really big part of building that national championship team. He recruited most of those players, helped develop them. They feel a real strong connection to him. As I was going through that search process, his name kept coming up as somebody to consider, and he was already very much on my radar. He and I have stayed in touch since he had left, and he's just, you know, to hear the excitement and enthusiasm that he has for coming back to Vermont and continuing the success of that program is something that makes me feel really good. And you know, it's hard to know. There's obviously player transition that'll happen. We have some players that are moving on. We have other players that are going to be coming with Adrian. So the team will look a little bit different, but I think the energy and the excitement around that program will continue as we move forward.
Knowing you wanted that, like you said, energy and excitement to continue, how did you approach the search process and what went into the things that you were hoping to identify about that next candidate?
Well, you know, part of my job is to always be prepared for a head coaching search, and we've been really fortunate to retain our coaches at a really, you know, had a lot of retention with our head coaches, and that's something that I work really hard at all the time. But I'm also thinking if we do have to make a change, we're some top candidates, and as you know, we've had a lot of success hiring internally. Mm-hmm. When we have the right person and when we feel like a program is healthy, that will make a promotion. And
Elisa Kresge, a great example.
Yeah, and Rob, of course. Yeah, you know, Rob was Jesse's assistant. John Becker's another example of that. Yeah. Steve Wheeler's an example. Bill Reichel, Christy Lefebvre. I mean, there's,
go
there's,
on and on
there's,
there.
There's
yeah,
a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that was something that was top of mind, and Brad had done a fantastic job, and he and I had several conversations, and I really appreciate Brad, you know, kind of being self-aware and doing a lot of soul searching and deciding that he didn't want to be a head coach at this point in his career, and so he made the decision to go with Rob to Penn State. And I was talking with Adrian and throughout the process because I think so highly of him. And I really felt like he's somebody who would be an amazing head coach, and particularly an amazing head coach of Vermont, just given his knowledge of our program and just how well he's thought of by our players and our alumni and the people in the community. And so, you know, once Rob made his decision and Brad made his decision, it was a pretty easy next phone call for me to Adrian, and we talked quite a bit. Joe Gervais was our associate athletic director, was a huge help to me throughout that process. I spoke regularly with our players, and that's the direction we went. There was lots of interest from high level college coaches throughout the country, no surprise given our program, but I really felt like Adrian's the right person for Vermont at this time, and I'm excited to see him continue the success that we've had.
what are the challenges that will go into that for him? What are things that Adrian's working on right now to keep this program at the level it's gotten to, because it's become one of the premier soccer programs across the country? What are the things that he's doing as we speak to try to keep the team in that type of atmosphere?
Well, and this isn't unique to Adrian. This is something that every coach is worrying about on every campus in just about every sport, which is player recruitment and retention in the current landscape. And particularly when you have a coaching transition that happens, and it's been well documented that we have some players that are moving on, and we certainly wish them well and appreciate everything that they've done. At the same time, Adrian's bringing in other players that I think are going to be really high level contributing players to our program. So, kind of the anatomy of his team and the roster and roster management is a top priority. We're close to making a public announcement about the staff that will be joining Adrian. And I think he's put together a fantastic team of individuals to help lead the program. And then just, there's some personal stuff. He's got two young kids, and so moving his wife, Allie, and their two young kids out here from San Diego is not without its challenges. And we're here to support him in all those ways. Again, it helps that he knows the community so well, and he has people here that want to help him. For him transitioning to being a head coach, he was a head coach at the Division III level very successfully. But at the Division I level, this, being a head coach is new for him. But he's a really, really thoughtful guy. He's humble, real great work ethic, just personable, well connected in the soccer community from a recruiting perspective and a professional development perspective. So I think he's as well positioned as any new coach that we've ever hired to bring into the department.
Well, Jeff, I want to say thank you one more time for taking the time to join us today. Congratulations on a great 2025, and I can't wait to see what 2026 has in store for us here around Burlington and around Catamount Country. Thanks so much for joining Catamount Insider this week.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be on with you.
Well, a big thank you again to Jeff for taking the time this week to join us on Catamount Insider. He's always so generous with his time when he does get the chance to sit down and catch up with me, and I'm very fortunate to have a great relationship with Jeff, and thanks again to his kind words to me towards the top of the show. It's been a busy week for me personally. I appreciate so many people who have reached out to me, as I was honored with a great award here in the state of Vermont. And I really appreciate those who have reached out and sent the kind words. The work continues has been something I've told a lot of people here around Burlington, because I do love the just great chances I've gotten to be here in Vermont and work with so many great people, and here specifically with the University of Vermont, but with the other schools and athletic departments and great teams that I have the opportunities to work with. I couldn't be more thankful to be here and be able to work with you all and represent this great state. Because I love you all, the fans, the listeners, those of you who are tuning into this Catamount Insider episode, thank you all for joining us. Hope you enjoyed that one. I thought it was a really nice update and summary from Jeff on the last year, talking about kind of the highlights. We kind of do the overarching views here with Jeff on Catamount Insider, but I thought he gave some decent specifics, especially when talking about the men's soccer coaching search. Hopefully we get some announcements on the rest of the staff for Adrian Dubois coming soon, and maybe some announcements on any potential facilities upgrades also on the horizon. It sounds like from talking with Jeff and others around the athletic department that they're optimistic that things will continue to roll forward with those facilities as this year goes on. Well, everybody, thank you so much for sticking with me this long as I've rambled on to the back end of this episode. We'll talk to you next week, every Friday on Catamount Insider. Wherever you get your podcasts, I encourage you to go over to the UVM Athletics YouTube channel as well and check out all of our episodes there in video form. Shout out to Pete Estes and his video crew who do a great job helping us out on the video side of things. All right, everybody, I'm Brian McLaughlin. Talk to you next week on Catamount Insider.